beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. They shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God.
I want to welcome each and every one of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that His Spirit might touch your hearts this day. We might have that desire to keep His commandments. I introduce to you, helping with the service here today, Brother Deacon Jared Ellis will be bringing the invocation. And Larry Ellis will be bringing us the benediction. And Clarence Herning will be bringing us the morning message. And our sister Trina Baker had brought us the special music. At this time, may we I have scripture reading here taken from Moroni 7, 35 and 36. And Christ has said, if you will have faith in me, you shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he has said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that you may be saved. May we continue with hymn number 79.
Jesus. Jesus need. Come learn of the meek and lowly, come sit at the Master's feet. No place in the world so holy, no place in the world so sweet. He wept o'er the holy city, he wept o'er a loved one dead. He knoweth our every trial, and seeth the tears we shed. Oh, live that our souls may enter his kingdom with joy complete, and that through eternal ages we'll sit at the Master's feet. Come learn of the meek and lowly, come sit at the Master's feet. No place in the world so holy, no place in the world so sweet.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have given us, and thank you for all that you have done throughout this week. And please be with the minister so that he will be able to speak the morning message so that the people will be able to receive it. And please, be with everyone so that they will be able to enjoy this service today. And I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I've chosen for my opening scripture in 4th Nephi, the first chapter, 13th, 14th verse. And this is just after Jesus had left this continent, after he had ministered to the Nephite nation. And it says, "And they did not walk any more after the performance and ordinance of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from their Lord and their God, continually in fasting and prayer, and in meeting together often, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. And it came to pass that there was no contention among all the people in all the land, but there were mighty miracles brought among the disciples of Christ."
Rejoice in thee.
is living water. By his salvation strong, then after judgment cometh, the remaining branch shall glorious be, exalted mountain purged by fire from above. His blessing grace is thee. His coming draweth nigh. Ye favored ones, prepare the way. Cast up the highway, gather stone. For him who cometh in dyed garments, he trod the winepress alone. Mighty One of Jacob, Zion's tower shall be, and his reign shall go on endlessly.
I guess most of you know that I'd rather do anything than stand behind this pulpit and represent my Heavenly Father. I love Him and want to be obedient, but this isn't one of my greatest callings, but I accept the responsibility. And I would just like to read something first to you that I took out of Titus, and I changed the name. I changed Paul's name to my name. But it's Paul's writings, and I'd just like to read this, and I'll use it as myself. I, a servant of God and an elder of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that doth not lie promised before the world began, but had in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of our Lord and Savior. That pretty well says what we need to be as priesthood responsibility, that we are to share the spoken word. And I was turning back to, and you'll have to give me a minute to calm down. My nerves are not good, and you get the age that I am. Bonnie noticed my hands were shaking the other day, and I hope it ain't because of some disease. But anyway, he tells us that we are to remember, this is a time that Jesus just left this earth for the second time. He came, and he came twice, and he just left. And he told them that they to continue. Moses' law was taken up in Jesus Christ. It was no more. And then he was saying that you need to follow the commandments of the Lord, and that we're to pray, to fast, and to meet together oft, to pray and hear the word of our Lord. I hope that's why we're here today. Why are we here today? Is it because of it's a social gathering? Or is it because are fearful of our Heavenly Father? Or is it because we have joy in His Word and seek for eternal life? Life eternal. I hope it's that. You think of the world, and we say as a nation that we're a Christian nation. Well, you could take a certain segment of that and go into their home, and they say, yeah, we're Christians. We have a Bible someplace, but I haven't seen it for a long time. But we're Christian. And then we have another segment is Bible carriers. And we pay a minister to tell us what's in here, and he will tell us what will save us and give us eternal life. So we don't have to, we just give him the money and he will tell us what we need to know. And then there's another group, a small, tiny group, and they call themselves the Restoration Saints or the Church of Jesus Christ. They believe in the unchangeability of God. They believe that the gospel was restored. An angel flying through the midst of heaven, having the everlasting light, a gospel, to give unto the world for the last time. We believe in miracles. We believe in healings. We believe in all the words of our Lord and Savior. But we're small. We're tiny. We're not even recognized hardly. But the Lord knows us. And so what I wanted to talk about today, I guess more or less, is three, four things that we need in our life as His children. And the first one is faith. The next one is to make our covenant in baptism. And the next is to endure to the end. And the next is eternal life. Is that why we're here? Faith, the covenant, endurance, and eternal life. To be with Jesus and His Father in heaven, in paradise. I think this is what we want. And I hope that's why we're here. And I hope that's why we get into the Scriptures, that we know them. And so I'm just going to talk a little bit about faith. And I think James says something real good. He says, for the body without the spirit is dead. And faith without the works is dead. So it isn't a free ride. We know the body, when it goes down to the grave, it goes back to the dust. There's a separation. The spirit goes back to God. The body goes back to the earth that it was created. And so that's what he's telling us here. If you don't have faith, then if without works, you're dead. The Spirit's supposed to be working with us, because God gave us that Spirit that leads us into all truth. So we need to have an eye of faith. Micah, last Sunday night, told us to go home, and before we went to bed, and I did, and I've read it several times since. 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. It's only 3.5 pages. Be very easy to read it in 10 or 15 minutes. But in a nutshell, the gospel is in that scripture. The gospel's there. We don't have to have all the other things, but there's so much more to give you. But if you just live by that chapter, the 13th chapter, you would have eternal life. But we have a tendency to not do that. We have our agency, we say. But we chose to look unto Him with, that says in there, unshaken faith. And we're supposed to be steadfast in Christ, not wishy-washy. One time we're high up on the mountain, with Christ, and next time we're down in the valley with Satan. We're up here and up there. There is not, we need to get on this level plane with our Heavenly Father. The right way is to believe in Jesus and not to deny Him. But we must bow down to Him and worship Him and love Him with all of our heart, our soul, and our might. And if you shall do this, you shall not be cast off. I hope everybody has their Book of Mormon, because we have a Book of Mormon class. If you look to 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter, verse 28, 29, and 30, and I'm not going to read it, I don't think, to you, unless somebody don't have their books. But it really tells us what the things that go together here in the Spirit. Maybe I will read it just to help you out. We'll start with 28. Behold, I send you, nay, for you have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith in Him, wholly relying upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love for God and all men. Therefore you must press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end. Behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. That pretty well covers it, really, is our faith. There's so many things that we could talk about in faith. You know, what I read there just a minute ago from Matthew 22:36, and it's also in Deuteronomy 5:6, I think. So we see the unchangeability of God even in Deuteronomy and Moses' time, and to Jesus walking upon the earth here, and he said, you know, that you love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and your whole soul, and if you do these things, you shall in no wise be cast off. And so, that's the first step that we got to go. The next step is making that covenant, or that baptism commitment unto our Heavenly Father. You can find several scriptures in that. Again, verse 24 in 2 Nephi, if you read the 24th verse, it says, "For the gate by which you shall enter is repentance and baptism by water. Then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost." It says, because of the covenant which we have made, and most people here have made the covenant, some haven't, if they haven't, I invite them to make that covenant, because that covenant is very important. Jesus done something great for us in this covenant relationship. But he says, if we made that covenant, we'll be called his sons and his daughters. And if we abide into that covenant unto the end of life, we shall have eternal life. You know, I'm going to read Mosiah 9:41. I told Bonnie, I should tell you a little experience I had this morning. I woke up about 3:30, and I've studied, and I had this kind of written out, and the Lord, I guess, touched my soul, and I got up out of bed, and I'm in the wrong chapter. As I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I got up out of bed, and the Lord told me to not read it, to bear the words that come to me, my expression of words, as long as they're in harmony with His. And I got up and got on my knees, and I asked Him that He would help me, because I am and unlearned, but like you, we all love the Lord. I don't think of one of us. They probably wouldn't lay down our life for our Heavenly Father. I know I had an experience like that with my grandson. He was doing things that were not Christian-like. He was on drugs. He was stealing. And he come in one night about 2:30 in the morning. And of course, when you steal stuff, you turn your jacket inside out where it's all black inside. And police come following him in. And I told the sheriff that I would lay down my life for my grandson. Jesus laid down his life for strangers and for loved ones. There was no difference. And I think that's what he wants us to do. I'll read this 41. And now I say unto you, by this, if this be the desires of your heart, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before him that you shall have enter into a covenant with him that you will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you. Upon you. We know that covenant relationship that God made, because we are all sinners and fall short of his glory. And God himself, and we read in the 19th chapter of Alma, the 97th verse, 98th verse, that God himself, let me read that, I won't make a mistake. It said, now the plan of mercy could not be brought about except an atonement should be made. Therefore, God himself atoned for the sins of the world to bring about the plan of mercy, to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, a just, and a merciful God also. That's the covenant that he gave for you and I. He hung up on that cross and gave it his blood that we might have the gift of mercy to the answer the demands of justice, because God cannot lie. And if you have a balance, justice will consign us to death, but with mercy it balances out. Mercy is the balance of justice, or the answer to justice. So that's where we have the hope. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we'd all be lost. Because we know what Eve did to us. She took of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And so we have good and evil in our lives. But through that, they found joy in the redemption by forgiveness. And so there's a little story, I might just share it quickly. It's a true story. If most of you know history, you know about Dr. Livingston that went into Africa in 1840. And he was a missionary, was sent there by the Society of London Missionary Society. And Stanley went, Henry Morton Stanley, I think is his name, he went there. He was, by the newspaper he worked for, was told to take an expedition and go find Dr. Stanley. They hadn't heard from him for 2 years. And so he took that responsibility, and he made that journey. He had 192 soldiers, and plus all the animals and everything that you had to take with him. They divided into five groups, and Stanley had ulcers. And so he took his goats with him. He traveled a little while, and it was tribal areas in Africa. It wasn't colonies or wasn't states. It was just tribal areas. And he went to one of these tribal areas, and the guy says, "I want all of your goats." And he took them because he had the power, and he gave him a staff. Now, can you imagine how Stanley felt? Hey, what am I going to do? In a few days, I'm in trouble. But he didn't realize that this man had respect all through Africa, and he could have had all the goats or all the milk that he ever wanted or whatever was in the country because of the power of that staff that he carried from that tribal one. And so that is a covenant, and he had to trust. What if he hadn't trusted? "Oh, I'm going to have him back or I'm going to fight you." Well, he'd have lost his life right there. But he kept that covenant, and that's what God has. God has given us mercy. As Stanley got milk, we got mercy. So that covers kind of two of the affairs that we are dealing with. We could go on into enduring. Man, that's a rough one, to endure. Endure to the end. I don't know if I could do that, we say. But Jesus said, "Endure to the end, and I will give you eternal life." We can read again in 2 Nephi, the 13th chapter. We can go back and read 20, 21, 25, and 30, and it tells us pretty well the same thing. 25, it says, it's set 24 again. "For the gate by which you shall enter is repentance and baptism. Then cometh a remission of your sin by fire and the Holy Ghost. Then are you in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life? Yea, you have entered by the gate, and you have done according to the commandments of the Father. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witness of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promises which he has made, that if you enter in by the way, you shall receive." You could go on and read the others. And 30 says, "Therefore, if you press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life." We know that as we go down into water, you have a baptism to make that covenant, that Jesus forgives us of our sins. We're washed clean. We come forth a new creature. And then the Father has done something for us. The Father gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost to lead us into all truth and to comfort us. Will not leave us comfortless. We know when Alma baptized Helaman, he said, "Well, are you willing to mourn with those that mourn? Are you willing to comfort those that need comfort?" And that we might be equal in oneness. And he says, "In this mortal body, you will serve it till the end and have eternal life." It's about eternal life. There was something else that I wanted to touch on this day. I think it's very important. You know, the words of Christ are very important. Sometimes we read over them and don't realize what we're reading. Sometimes we excuse ourselves for that. Sometimes we don't understand. And Jim McKay shared here at a prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago, which he said, you know, you read in Matthew, it says the only unpardonable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And he said, I didn't realize that. And the Book of Mormon tells you that God gives you the Holy Ghost. It isn't Jesus. And he cannot look upon sin with the least degree. So that is a gift from him, and that is the only way we can blasphemy against God, is not reject the Holy Ghost after we have received it. And I'm saying there's degrees probably of receiving it, but when we have the fullness of it, then that is the only unforgivable sin. So we have a chance to perfect our lives and be forgiven of those. But what I get back to my thought was about his word. We have his word, and you know, this book I would put up against any book. This one gives you a slight glimpse. This gives you the full light. I was reading the other day where we got the King James Version in 1611. The Catholics got their Bible 500 years before. There was manuscripts is how they got their word. It wasn't another book that they got. It was manuscripts, pieces and bits here and there, and they pieced it together to make this book. I ain't saying it's infallible. I ain't saying it's bad, but it is not the fullness of the gospel. And that's the reason we of this little group have received this, and someday the whole world will receive it. I believe that with all my heart, because it teaches so much more than what the Bible teaches. And so that's, I'll get back to my train of thought here. How are we, my voice, how are we to approach God? How are we to pray to him? I found this out a few years ago and I shared it with a few people, but I think the whole congregation needs to know it, and maybe a lot of you do know it. But we can go back to Genesis. The very beginning, let's go back to Genesis to see what it says. Genesis 4:8, if somebody wants to look it up, I think it's 4:8. Yeah, see, therefore thou shalt do all that thou dost in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of thy Son, the Son, forevermore. That means for eternity, doesn't it? Evermore. And that was after Adam made a sacrifice to his God, because God, and an angel asked him, why'd he do it? He says, because God commanded. And then the angel talked to him and said, this is a similitude of the only begotten Son, who is in light and truth. And so what I want to bring out here, in Genesis it says we are to worship God in the name of Jesus Christ, to call upon him forevermore. Now you say, well, how do we pray? We get a lot of different starts in our prayer life. But I thought Jesus, when he came to this hemisphere, he straightened it out. And I'd rather take his words than my words or your words. I'd rather take Jesus' words. And what Jesus said, you can go to 3 Nephi, 9th chapter, 7 and 8. And it says, pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how we start our prayer life out. Not in the name of Jesus first. But you approach God, and then you go into Jesus, because Jesus took on flesh and blood. And you can go on 9:10, 3 Nephi 9:10, 3 Nephi 8:51, 8:3. There's 10 or 12 places in there that Jesus said how we are to approach him. And that is approach God through the name of Jesus Christ. Even the 3 Nephites that didn't taste of death, they were told that if they would pray unto God in the name of Jesus Christ, they could show themselves who they willed. Even those spirits can walk in flesh and blood. They still come to Jesus Christ through the Father to be able to show themselves. And I know several people's had the experience of seeing the 3 Nephites. So I guess more or less what I want to say is, does he accept us if we deviate from what he says? Does he accept us if we deviate from what he says? There's a way to approach him. There's a way to worship him. And I think we have to be careful that we don't offend him. He is our God and he's our creator. To have life eternal, you know, that's hard to imagine, ain't it? But we read again in Genesis 4:10. Let's go down the page, just a couple of verses. And it says, "In that day Adam blessed God and was filled and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are open, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God." Eternal life. Adam knew it. Do we know it? We're to press forward, feasting upon the Word of God. If we press forward, and if we have love, hope in God and for all men, you shall have eternal life. I'm going to read Mosiah just a little bit over the Pharaoh was, 48 to 44, and that's I'm going to read 40 and then 44. And this is, you'll all recognize this. And I should put a pitch in here for the Book of Mormon class that we have every Sunday morning. Mosiah 9, 40 and 44. I'm going to put a pitch in for the class. To me, this is the fullness of the gospel. We can compare it with the Bible to strengthen this, and we can strengthen the Bible. The Bible can strengthen this. But we're missing out, brothers and sisters, if we don't know the Word. If we don't know His Word, how are we going to keep His commandments? How are we going to feast upon His words? We read in the 14th chapter of the second chapter in Nephi that talks us about feasting upon the words of Christ. He'll lead you into all truth. I've got some stones around a tree in my front by the garage door that has those in concrete. My wife had my son-in-law to fix them for us, and they get quite often looked at. And so, but I want to read this for you. This is Alma baptizing Helaman. "Yea, are you willing to mourn with those that mourn? Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as a witness of God in all times and in all things and in all places, that you may be in, even until death, that you may be redeemed of God and be numbered of those of the first resurrection, that you may have eternal life." Again, eternal life. That's what we could have to have eternal life. Go down to 44. "And then he said and said these words, The Spirit of the Lord was up on me, and he said, Helaman, I baptize thee, having the authority from the Almighty God, as a testimony that you have entered into a covenant to serve him until you are dead." There. That covenant is a death. Jesus sealed it with a death, his covenant with us. "As to the mortal body, and may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, whom he has prepared from the foundation of the world." That's the reason I went back to Genesis, and the plan of redemption was laid from the very foundation of the world. And I got 5 minutes more. Some of you read this little book, Heaven is for Real. I know Anise has read it. 3-year-old boy, appendix busted 5 days before they knew it. They thought he had a cold and all this. And he's seen many things in heaven. He didn't die, but his spirit left his body. He was so sick, and the Lord giving this testimony. And his dad is a Methodist preacher. And that was what kind of shocked me to the. But anyway, this little boy went to heaven, and he's seen even his little sister that was miscarried. And she said, "I'm your sister." And he said, "Well, nobody old." And they asked him, "Did you see your grandpa? He died a few years before." "No, I didn't see my grandpa." And they was found some old pictures of a month. This happened over a time of about 2 or 3 years. And the little boy said, "That's him. That's who I seen in heaven." And his grandpa, picture was taken when he was 29 years old. And he said, "There's nobody wears glasses." And the scriptures tell us what? Not a hair of our head or anybody will all be replaced and come forth in the resurrection. The spirit will come back out of the body and join with the spirit, and will be judged by the things we've done in this mortal body. And when if that's righteous, we'll go to paradise or heaven. He called it heaven. We have a lot of insight on paradise that the Book of Mormon and the Bible don't have. But anyway, it was quite a experience this little boy had, and he shared. And his dad had never heard these things. And I'm going to read what his dad said that kind of. I love our Protestant friends, but they're so missing so much that it makes your heart hurt. His dad said, "When you look at the Book of Revelations and other biblical teachings about heaven, it's kind of fragmented." Fragmented. That's a good word. "As a pastor, I teach what I find in the scriptures." I teach what I find in the scriptures. King James Version. This ain't King James, but. And his three and a half year old son knew more than he did. And he went to a seminar. I don't know what he was taught, but once saved, always saved, I imagine. But anyway, that was something I wanted to think. And, I'm going to stop. But, Micah, we talk in the Book of Mormon here about Lehi's time in Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah. And Isaiah, there was a lot went on. Wicked kings and righteous kings in Jerusalem. And the wicked ones worshipped idols and all sorts of evil. And then a righteous one would come in and he'd clean up the temple and bring back the Passover and these things. And then you go in Moses. And it's the same thing. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. One time they were worshippers of God. The next time there's worshiping of idols. And this went on for 40 years that none of them that was 20 or above that came out of Egypt weren't allowed into the promised land because of their sins. We can't deviate from our his word. I thank you for your attendance. I know I don't do a good job, but I share what I share. And I know that the Lord can supplement from what I don't put out. But I would encourage you to get in the Word of God. The young children need to hear the Word of God. And I would invite all of you to come to the Book of Mormon class. And I'll just suggest this, is getting up a little bit early. It's always about 2 or 3 o'clock, a good time for a nap. I find that out. The Lord put an effort out for you and I. Let's put an effort out for Him. Thank you.
They returned to Him in 74. Thank you.
gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the blessing that Thou hast given unto us this day through the ministry of our brother. We ask that You would be with us as we leave here this day, that we would remember those things that we have been taught, and that we would be willing to do those things and those commandments which Thou hast given unto us. That our lives and the things that we say and do would lead to Thee. For we do thank Thee so much for You giving Your Son unto us and giving us the opportunity to be able to repent and to come unto Thee. For we are sinful, Lord, and we need Thy help. And we need Thy protection from the evil one, from those fiery darts that he throws at us. We need the wisdom and the knowledge that Thou hast, so that we may become stronger, that we might be able to be the people that Thou would have us be. For we do love Thee, Lord, and we do praise Thee in Thy Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen.